Item 5, from the President, CEO of Wisconsin Regional Training Partnership, Building Industry Group Skilled Trades Employment Program, and the Director of County Economic Development, submitting a quarterly report addressing program progress, recruitment, job placements, and partnerships. This item is informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Mr. Teague Whaley-Smith.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Supervisors. As you know, we continue to work with a very strong partner in WRTP Big Step in implementing workforce training. We have Mark Asinich here today from WRTP Big Step to go over some of the highlights of the report that has been filed with the committee.
Good morning. Mark Kosnick, Vice President of Operations with WRTP Big Step. Thank you. A couple things. As a reminder, Ready to Work was designed to be this intensive response to connecting county residents with jobs and really long-term careers. And so over the last 12, now 15 months, we've been intensely active on the project. And today I just want to give you a couple of highlights. We used some projection graphs the last time we were here, and that seemed to be a nice way to highlight where we were relative to where we thought we would be. So as we walk through, in general, the quarter four report, as you'll see, audited by Baker Tilly, puts us right on track where we're supposed to be on all accounts, both on a fiscal note and on a program direction. So we feel like we're really staying on track with what we thought we were going to do. The plan seems to be rolling out the right way. Quarter four is clearly our best quarter yet, so we really have been able to ramp up. And so one of the challenges as we kind of get through quarter five and into quarter six is, are we going to remain on that track or try to slightly slow down? Just by way of the numbers, we have doubled the number of general information sessions, resource information sessions we're doing. We've increased both our construction and manufacturing career pathways activities. That includes things like tutoring, career counseling, light training, essential training, and then, of course, the employer link training that we do either on site with some employers and contractors or with the tech college. So with that, why don't we take a look? So when we started off, we projected at this point to be probably somewhere around 1,000 individuals that we would have recruited and assessed in the process. Clearly, the response has been greater than we projected, which isn't necessarily surprising or a bad thing. What that means is at the front end of our capacity, we've had to really make sure we're efficient in trying to respond to the community, respond to each individual as they're calling in or showing up or trying to get engaged. If we're going to move to the next slide. In terms of career pathways, this is what we dubbed as our effort to make sure that we're not just getting people jobs, but we're actually getting people some sort of training or credential or career support that allows them to progress once they've gained employment. To this point, we've exceeded that expectation. Not crazy, but we've done a more than adequate job of getting past the projected goals. And what that really has given us a chance to do is hit our placement marks much more effectively. So if we move to the next slide, where the rubber hits the road is moving into actually employment. So as you can see, the light green is our projection. The darker green is our actual. So we're tracking just slightly below our projection. And again, when we projected, it was our best guesstimate for how we would place as an outcome based on our flow. So we feel like we're on track relative to what we thought we were, where we thought we were going to be. And when I ran some numbers last Friday just to see, you know, are we still on track? In fact, we are. We're at about just shy of 400 placements at, you know, October 24th. And typically our final monthly recap doesn't happen until the 15th following. So my hope internally, and it's pushing staff a little harder to work a little faster, is to make sure that when we get to the end of October here, that we're around 415 or so. That should put us right on track to hit our goal of 500 individuals placed into employment. A couple of other highlights I think are worth noting. We not reflected in these numbers, of course, are the partnership we did with the county parks this summer. So that is reflected in the narrative. From a data perspective, we weren't really sure how to integrate that into what we projected, so we just included it as a narrative piece. So in partnership with the county parks department, We prepared and did job readiness training for just over 200 seasonal ones. So over the course of 2 months, we were running groups of anywhere from 2 to 6 individuals who were doing everything from essential skills training to learning how to run a weed whacker to learning how to test water for the pool. So we had a whole wide range of young people and not so young people who were employed with the county this summer in the parks. And in addition, probably more interestingly to the eye, we did some training for your experienced seasonals. So we did skid steer training in our backyard, so to speak. So in partnership with the county, they brought over some front-end loaders, some chips, some gravel, and your seasonal experienced folks got a chance to do their 4 hours of certification training to get them up to speed so they could operate equipment this summer on various parks projects. So we consider that very successful. We had a good learning experience out of it, and frankly, we're looking forward to doing it again next summer. I think we've gotten some valuable tweaks put into the system so that we can really be a value added to what the county needs in terms of its parks workforce. By way of kind of looking forward into quarter five, as I noted, we appear to be on track according to my best data estimates. We look good. We know that we've got a lot of construction coming up in the spring. So internally, we're very much using the ready to work as a springboard to making sure we've got the number of people in the pipeline ready to go that we're going to need. Everything from some of the projects you've just kind of looked at to the Northwestern Mutual Life redevelopment, the whole lakefront piece, major construction projects coming down the pipe that we need to have community residents prepared for, given some of the requirements that they're going to put on those projects. Secondly, looking forward, we're looking for manufacturing to be strong, so we think we're going to be able to continue with some of those placements. In particular, Harley-Davidson, which is one of the major, what they call OEMs, or they drive the supply chain, has continued to show good growth. And so what that means for us is not only their workforce, but also their subcontractors, like HB Performance out in on Donjas Bay Road. So when Harley does well, their suppliers do well, which is very good for us in terms of trying to get folks to work. And last, just as kind of a pilot piece, in partnership with the City of Milwaukee and the County Department of Public Works and Parks, we've been looking at this CDL issue. So there are several partners who've come together over the course of the last 3 months to talk about what some of their needs might be. So folks who are doing over-the-road driving, folks who are involved in municipal projects, DPWs, and then the road construction industry, folks like Zenith Tech and Payne and Dolan, have come together to say, let's pilot some efforts to get folks some Class B licenses that are appropriate to localized type of work. And so we should be launching in partnership with the city our first cohort of 3 or 4 individuals who will come out of some of the ready-to-work programs. So again, this is how we're leveraging the partnership to make sure folks can access that type of certification. Obviously, that's a great thing for finding employment either in logistics, and certainly is a benefit in terms of long-term career stability in the construction, industry. Finally, I just wanted to make a note, too. We've been working very closely with Teague and his staff as well as other county audit staff. We're now at this juncture fiscally. We've expended our indirect costs. So now we're in the phase of leveraging some partnership dollars to make sure that we can cover our admin costs for the remainder. We look very strong there. We just completed our internal audit, so we have a very clean audit going into the next year, which is a very good thing for us as an organization. And so finally, we've been very happy with the partnership. We've been very happy with the communication we've had with the board, with the administration in terms of trying to get information out and be able to provide information back as needed. And we would hope that we could continue to do that over the last quarter and a half here that we have to go. So with that, I would take a few questions.
Mr. Hare, were you going to make any comments?
Yeah, I'm Jerry Hare, Comptroller's Director of Audits. No, I think the last point on the indirect cost was the only question we had for doing all the programmatic and fiscal information. They've hit that number, but I've reviewed their financial statements. The organization has plenty of capacity to absorb those costs.
Thank you. Supervisor Mayo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. That was Mr. Hare, come on back. And that was one of the concerns of some of my colleagues. First, before I ask about the finance, I think your program is working, it's worthwhile that we continue to have our relationship to see how we can continue this for the next year or a year after that. Do you think because of your hiring, because you're back, because of the economy, people are not hiring right now, that's why you're looking at the construction season?
Right. So in this last quarter, our construction hires were much higher than our manufacturing hires. So we'll probably see that in quarter five as well. Going into quarter six, we would look for a lot of those, the kind of final manufacturing hires to be the kind of capper for this contract period.
But manufacturing is leaving Milwaukee County, or is it coming back now?
Well, it depends on who you ask on that question. Of course, when we talk to some of our, again, we follow the supply chains. So whether it's a Harley Davidson, a John Deere, an Oshkosh truck, some of the big ones, as their contracts come in or as their products are selling well, their supply chains do well. When their supply chains do well, we're able to either fill their flexible workforce or, you know, as they're having a transition in their demographics, able to fill some of those niches. We had a nice presentation from the Federal Reserve on the Midwestern manufacturing economy. And so, you know, obviously as time has gone on, the demand for workforce has decreased. The, you know, productivity of the workforce has dramatically increased. But we are seeing with this onshoring a kind of, it's a little hook like that at the end. And so what that little hook tells us is there are new workforce opportunities for us to fill and work with. And we do know that with the demographic shifts in our economy, we're going to have problems filling all kinds of different occupations over the next 10 years. So we feel it's not going to end all unemployment, but it is certainly an area where you can make a good wage, you get great benefits, and there is opportunity for career growth. So, yeah.
Thank you. Mr. Hare, the money. Are they managing the money properly? Are we on top of it? Do we have any fraud, anything, mismanagement? Please answer that question, please.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, this contract has probably some of the most robust accountability built into it that I've ever seen.
Uh-huh.
Having said that, an auditor is never going to tell you there's no fraud. But what I can tell you is that Baker Tilly has done pretty in-depth reviews on a monthly basis and on a quarterly basis to tie out not only the financial information that you provided in these reports, but the programmatic as well. I would also suggest that part of our reliance is on their financial statements. This organization receives money from other governments and is pretty constantly under the microscope in terms of how they spend money. They've got a good clean audit. As I said, it looks like they've developed a very diverse flow of funds, so they're able to absorb a hit, for example, in this situation where some of the requirements of the contract are administratively a little more costly than other programs may have, and they have a fairly good unrestricted funds, so they're in good fiscal shape. They're providing good programmatic information, and I've been pleasantly surprised at the capacity of the organization to step up and be held accountable.
Thank you.
And part of this, if I could, Madam Chair, one more thing. DAS was involved in the front end of this as well, and Vince Masterson worked very closely with ED in our office and with WRTP Big Step to develop a pretty robust spreadsheet. I mean, behind the spread, the information you get in the reports, there's just masses of data that are generated out of this grant. Thank you.
Thank you. Supervisor Taylor.
Thank you. It showed that you had 11 or about 1,400 recruits and 300 basically jobs created. So those 1,100, you know, where are they? What's happening to them? Or some of them are on that career path, I'm guessing they've got. But what kind of happens with the 1,100 bodies that kind of went through the system that didn't get a job? And then is there certain areas where were they lacking certain skills? And are you going to tweak any of your way you do business to try to help those people? I'm curious just of the numbers.
Sure. So we have I would consider about four tracks. So out of that 1,500, some we were able to connect directly with employment through some limited career counseling. They may have been unemployed and had some skills, and we were able to connect them. Some of those folks will obviously be in our career tracking. They're in a training program. They're directly in tutoring. They're in something that's connected directly with the next step being employment. The third pool would be folks who were in a more intensive career counseling, some light training. We would call that essential skills. So we've set up what we call our manufacturing lab, and in what that really is it's a pipeline or a pool of folks. They're neither in training and they haven't been placed, but it gives us a chance to counsel, in some cases do some one-on-one tutoring. We've got some online career exploration and career assessment tools that we're using, like the manufacturing skills certification, green production module. A couple of our employers use that certification as a way of kind of vetting their candidates. So what we're doing is we're trying to get folks prepared to be able to qualify and test into some of those occupations. And then the fourth group would be folks who've come to us, and quite frankly, they're really not ready to work. They really have some other issues, and we use our referral network to get them connected with things. If substance abuse is their real issue, or if there are other personal or social issues that they're kind of trying to deal with, sometimes while work is very, very important, the ability to stay at work is not possible if you've got some other issues that are kind of messing with you. So we try to keep an open referral network when we do that, so when folks are really ready to make that next step, that we're prepared and we're ready to kind of bring them back in. But, you know, of all 1,500, there's about a quarter just frankly need some other assistance beyond which we can provide. That's not what this was set up to really do.
Yeah, there was the total dollar amount was $1 million. How much have we spent or what's left? And will that, I know it's through January of 14, is that what the timetable was? But if, and I guess I wasn't around when we passed this, so I don't know the details completely. If there's money left over, are we just going to continue to extend it past January? Or so how much money is left, and then what happens when, if we have money left and it's the end of the period?
Well, the broad stroke, and maybe Jerry can give you the pennies,
well,
but yeah, go ahead.
We pretty much structured it on a cash flow. It's $166,666 per quarter to run through the 18-month period. As to any subsequent extension of the contract, I mean, that's clearly a policy issue. But we didn't want to really throw out a bunch of front-end loading on it and then have it, you know, dribble off, and we didn't want to do it the back end either. So it's been a pretty steady flow of funds.
Okay, thank you.
Supervisor Rainey.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My question has since been responded.
Thank you. Supervisor Johnson.
Madam Chair, I move to receive and place this file so other members of the board may receive this information. Since this was a very valuable investment of $1 million, I think the board members should know what's going on, particularly in light, in view of what Mr. Harris said as far as the financials and the programming aspects of the program really being where they should be.
Very good. We've got a motion to receive and place on file. Any other comments from committee? If not, Madam Clerk, please call that roll.
On the motion to receive and place on file, Supervisors Bowen.
Aye.
Mayo.
Excused.
Schmidt.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Taylor.
Aye.
Rainey.
Aye.
Madam Chair.
Aye.
There are 6 ayes. The motion to receive and place on file is approved.
Thank you. All right, Madam Clerk, please call item 7.